Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Dory.
What?
JK. It's Matt.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Yes, in case you're wondering, this opening theme song is no longer there. I figured I'd do this at the top here so we stop getting questions about it. Just wanted to stop using any copywritten music, even though it's like less than 11 seconds. And, you know, I just figured it'd be easier to just start with that weird Acast jingle, that doodle-loop.
I think that would confuse everyone.
If we started with that jingle, what we do? What do you mean? What would confuse everybody?
If we started with that jingle.
But doesn't it, though? Because it's an Acast show? Doesn't they all?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, I was like, what takes the minimal effort on my part? And that is that. Just letting that little jingle do it.
Yep.
But so there. That's that. That's the explanation on that.
Yep.
Let's see. Other typical questions that we get. Let's knock them all out right now. I don't have any more. That seems to be the one lately.
Yeah, I don't have any more either.
Otherwise, hello. Big week over here. I turned older by a week, really, but also I'm now what feels like 50, but I'm 38. So,
how was your birthday?
Let me tell you, it was far and away better than last year. My wife, Dory, you might know her. She's the co-host of this podcast and another podcast.
Yep, that's me.
She tried. So,
wow.
That was the effort alone.
That
was so pleasing and heartwarming.
That is what? Rude.
What do you mean?
She
tried.
Tried.
She did. You did, didn't you?
I did.
Thank you. And you succeeded.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Oh, I see. I gotcha. Okay.
It sounded like
the effort alone would have been enough.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Look, we kicked off the day with, I got out of bed. And then I was told to get back to bed.
Yep.
So we're supposed to come get you. And then Dory and Henry came in. And we proceeded to open some presents in a large bag.
That said happy birthday
on it.
That said
happy birthday. There was a couple birthday cards in there.
Mm-hmm.
One Henry had done some nice drawings in. Mm-hmm. Some big scribbles. And another that Dory had gotten me. Had not so many scribbles.
That's true.
And then, you know, she got me a new golf towel, which is on my bag currently, has my initials on it. She got me one of those cool leather score bookkeeper thingies, like green books that you see caddies using.
And it's monogrammed.
Has my initials on it as well. And then she got me the 20th anniversary vinyl issue of O Inverted World, you know, the Shins debut album from 2000 and fun. And then she was like, well, what do you want to do? And then I didn't really have an answer, and she had to do a little work, and I said, I'm just going to go try these clubs out. So I left, and I went to the driving range, hit some balls. Then in the clubhouse, I was talking, and they were like, we have like 2 hours here where there's like nobody has a tee time, so we're just dead. And I was like, really? When? They're like, pretty much from noon on to two, and I was like, give me 12:10. And I'll come play golf in the high heat, the August heat, the noon August heat in the valley. And I went out and I played both. I was originally going to play nine. It was pretty wild because, like, I played the first hole and I looked behind me and there was nobody. So I just drove my cart back up and played the first hole again. And then the second hole, I played it a couple times. Like, it was really a great practice round.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
there were like, I was trying to figure out how far I was hitting these clubs, and I like was on the fairway of the next hole, and I was like, let me hit the 8-iron and the pitching wedge and see which one gets me to the green. And, you know, lo and behold, I was out there, played 20-something holes, 26 holes maybe, worth of golf. And then I was like, I better get home. It's very hot. I'm very thirsty. I haven't eaten today. Got home, and Dory had gotten me a cake, Susie Cakes, celebration cake, number one cake on the planet. So she nailed that, said happy birthday Dida on it. Henry was excited about it, but he was eating a carrot cake muffin. It was very bizarre. And...
Oh, you forgot about the balloons.
Oh, yes. There's a 3 and an 8 balloon that are now... They're hanging in our living room right now. So we're going to keep those till I'm 83.
Yep.
The year I was born was 83. So...
That's true.
Now we can just flip that around and have a great time.
Yep, yep, yep.
And then we had Holly come watch Henry for the evening, and I took Dory to the driving range. We decided not to do the golf course because Dory was a little weary of how she would hit a ball, rightfully so, as we discovered at the driving range. And I proceeded to sort of give Dory a golf lesson.
Yeah, you did.
And I tried real hard to be a good instructor. She only yelled at me a couple times.
Well, I yelled at you because I was frustrated at what I perceived as your, like, misperception of my golf skill level. Like, you seemed like you were getting frustrated that I, like, wasn't hitting it well. And I was like,
no,
I've never played golf before.
No. Honey, there's not hitting it well. And there's not hitting it. It's two different things. I was under the assumption that you would vaguely be able to make contact with the ball.
I did.
And when I assessed that that was not fully the case, I took the approach of square one. Let's go.
Yeah, which I tried to explain to you, and I feel like you didn't really, like, grasp.
I didn't believe it.
Yeah.
I refused to believe it
because
of your athletic prowess.
I mean, once I was instructed, I feel like I got better, but...
Well, so we just hit a bunch of chip shots. Mm-hmm. I was just showing her how to make contact with the club and the ball, so...
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she took it well and was doing it. We hit a large bucket over at Weddington. And then, you know, we were like, what else does Studio City have to offer? Oh, let's go back to Dory's. What was your review of golf?
The review of golf was, it was fun.
Uh-huh.
It was like a good activity that we did together, I thought.
Would you do golf again?
Yes.
Would you ever consider doing golf on your own?
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, it was difficult because this is very rare, but Dory's also left-handed. So usually I'm used to, like, when I take someone to the driving range, we're face-to-face. So, like, when we're hitting balls, we're face, you know. So, like, if someone needs to show someone something, you mirror it, you know. So that was hard to sort of wrap my head around how to teach someone who was also left-handed. But, you know, she was getting the ball, letting the club do all the loft that the ball needed. Some square strikes, you know, no big swings, everybody. We're not there yet. We're not attempting to do anything, but just start at the beginning.
Yep.
And then we went to dinner. And also we had that moment again of, like, it being 5:30 p.m. and us in the car without Henry, going like, whoa, this is weird. It's so rare to see the out of doors at this time.
Yeah.
With the sun on this side of the of the hill, or, you know, on this side of the car. It's very strange. Yeah. And then we went to dinner. and it was tapas. Guys, I don't know if you know tapas, but it's small and medium-sized plates that are meant to share. So they really want you to get the entire order in at once, you know, and then they'll just send out what they think they need to send out when they need to send it out, they think. But they really want you to share.
The chef really wants you to share.
And what that means is you get one plate for the entire night to put all of the various things on. One very small plate. And Dory had a cider, and I had a single Diet Coke because our waiter never returned. And you know what? It's okay. They're busy. I get it. Then we went home. It was 9:30 by the time we got home.
Yeah.
Felt like
big night out for
11
us.
11 p.m. That's how late it felt like. I also expect people to go, wow, 11 so late, but it's not. So, I mean, look, we're old, obviously. And, I don't remember why we got home. I mean, we're both pretty tired. You pretty much just get ready for bed. I don't really remember.
Yeah, I think we just got ready for bed.
And then I stayed on the couch and, because they released the Joey Votto card and the monthly rewards for MLB The Show. So I was like, got to try to earn this card. Just still haven't been able to do, but I'm trying. And then I went to bed at a fairly okay hour. It was Thursday into Friday. Yes. Okay. And then I got a car seat, ordered a car seat for my car so that we finally don't have to swap car seats. They put the car seat back in my car, back in Dory's car, et cetera, which will, I think, eliminate a lot of headaches. It's going to be a little easier,
I think. Which I suggested several months ago.
You did, but it's still not going to get me around. See, the beauty of it would be if both cars could be driven by both people,
mm-hmm.
and like you could just take whatever car was blocking the other car. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So I still have to move a car.
That's on you, though.
It's on you for not wanting to drive my car.
Yeah, because your car is too nice.
My car is dope. It is a Ferrari Testarossa from the set of Magnum PI.
Yep, that's Matt's car.
That's a four-door. Anyway. But that was, so it was a very good birthday, and I'd like to thank Dory publicly. Not privately. I'd like to thank her publicly for a great birthday. And good practice for the big 4-0 in 2 years. We'll see what she does.
I've already had some thoughts.
Oh, she had thoughts, everybody. It's fascinating.
So,
that was the week. How was your week?
How was my week? Maybe
let's forget about my birthday.
My week was fine.
Yeah.
You know, nothing.
Big news over here also. Yesterday, we all went in the pool with Henry for the first time.
Yeah.
Usually, I'm the Henry pool person.
Yeah.
Somehow convinced Dory to get in the pool.
It was fun.
Yep, it was fun. Except that he grabs onto me and just constantly is asking to jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jump, jump. Jump. Anyway.
He has a lot more words.
I mean, he's a parrot now, so everything we say. I said shit. I almost fell and he said, sit. like in fictional TV shows where you go, that's not how it happens, but it is, apparently. They're just little word sponges.
He also, and he's like picking up on, like, today he was looking at your little golf putter thing that you have in the house,
mm-hmm.
and he pointed to the one of the holes and he said big, and then he pointed to the other one and he said small, and he
It's true.
Pointing to the big one and the small
There's
one.
There's a big hole and a small hole.
And he's like very into like up and down.
Yes. I like that he can say up and down now if he wants
says,
to get down.
Pick up.
Yep.
He
says open.
Yeah. He says open a lot. He also says no, 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 no. A lot. But yeah, he's like recognizing colors and shapes and numbers. And it's just, it's cool to like see his little brain kind of expanding because, you know, a month and a half ago, he didn't have any of this stuff.
Yeah. He didn't have words, really.
Yeah.
And now it's like a little word explosion.
Yeah.
Turns out really all he needed was Miss Rachel, an actual speech therapist.
And
some pre-preschool.
Some pre-preschool.
yeah. So there you go. That's what's happening over here.
Yep.
What do you got going on next week? Anything you're looking forward to? You got two tennis lessons coming up.
I don't start that till next week.
Oh, forget it then.
I'm having drinks with someone who's going to be in town on Tuesday night.
Okay. That's exciting. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah. That's kind of,
I mean, we'll start the countdown now, but Dory is going to her cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend, which to Dory starts on Wednesday.
Wednesday
night.
And
she'll be back on Sunday. And guess what? I'm staying home with Henry. And we will see. I think I can do it. TBD.
I mean, it's only going to be 2 days without childcare.
Yeah, I mean, look, any time without anything is, I don't know. It's like, what? How do I do this? We'll see. So I suggest tuning in right after Labor Day, see how that went. Now, Dodo.
Yes.
Would you like to tell everyone where to email our FairPod?
Oh, yes. Please email us at mattanddory@gmail.com or doryandmatt@gmail.com. Please call us at 413-461-BABY. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/excellentadventure. Oh, also, before we take a break, I just want to mention I was on the Long Form podcast. If people are interested.
I was literally waiting for you to tell me the name of it.
And it's then, called the Long Form Podcast.
Yeah, I got that after you didn't reiterate the name of it.
Yeah. So there's lots of talk about New York media in the aughts and the process of writing a book. So if that strikes your fancy.
Dory's a treasure trove of information regarding the old days of the...
ye old days.
Ye oldie days. The you know, the Shins, around the Shins time.
Little later,
you know, post Belle and Sebastian, post Shins. Thank you.
Yeah.
New York media. You want to know about it? You just tell Dory Shafrir that you have a question. She'll answer it.
I will.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for today, tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters, and that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking
yarns. The light bulb's going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last, and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. And use the code adventure at checkout. And we're back. Hello.
Hello.
Has anybody asked you any questions about New York media since we've been gone?
No. Oh, okay. No one.
Wow. Now, Dory, let's see what we got going on here. I feel like last week the help signal went out. That's two L's.
Yeah.
This week.
Yep.
The signal was answered.
Yes, but before we get to that, I just want to give a quick update from Sue, the one who read my book, not in 16 hours, but in four yes. hours. Sue lives in San Diego, not Boston. She says, living in the East Village near the baseball stadium and taking the fabulous affordable trolley all over town.
I mean, I didn't realize that San Diego had an East Village near the baseball stadium. Isn't that the gas lamp district? Hi. Right. San Diego. I live in San Diego. I used to live in San Diego for 4 days a year.
I have no idea.
Petco Park is pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever watched an actual game that took place in Petco Park. I've been in the stadium. Sometimes it's the stadium on MLB The Show. And to me, it appears like there's like a balcony, like a series of balconies to the left that you could just land some dingers.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool.
Hmm. Well, all right. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, we're going to hear from some people about help syndrome, as Matt just explained. This first email is from Kelsey. I developed help syndrome in my first pregnancy, which resulted in a very traumatic delivery at 28 weeks. My son was in the NICU for months, but has gone on to lead a completely normal life and is a thriving 9-year-old. While my first delivery was premature and traumatic, I was lucky and had no lasting physical effects from the help on my body. My husband and I felt strongly about a sibling for our son and wanted to pursue a second pregnancy, but I was terrified. We were living in NYC at the time, which gave us access to amazing doctors in specialized fields. I spent what felt like months tracking down a maternal fetal medicine doctor who was involved with researching HELLP syndrome, and made an appointment. My husband and I went in wanting to know if it was responsible to pursue a second pregnancy, and he told us it was, as long as we were willing to accept a 25 to 30% chance that I would have some level of preeclampsia again. He told me that current research indicates that women who develop HELLP twice tend to have it less severely the second time, unless it occurs before 28 weeks, so I was right on the cusp. He also told me about a fellow doctor in his practice who had HELLP with her first pregnancy, but went on to have three additional totally healthy pregnancies. We decided together that we were willing to accept the risk and got pregnant again. My pregnancy was anxiety ridden. I was seeing a maternal fetal medicine doctor this time around that specialized in high risk pregnancies. She tested me early on for a blood clotting disorder that is sometimes associated with HELLP, but I didn't have it. She told me that if things started to trend in the wrong direction, we'd start me on daily heparin shots. The only thing I did differently from my first pregnancy was take a daily baby aspirin. The pregnancy was textbook up until week 23. When at a scheduled ultrasound, they noticed that the baby was measuring very small and that my placenta wasn't functioning correctly, along with a blood clot in my umbilical cord. I was devastated. At that time, she noticed my blood pressure was also ticking up and that my liver enzymes were slightly elevated. She sent me home for a week until we hit the viability mark at 24 weeks. and then told me to come back in. At that point, the baby still wasn't growing and my help symptoms were not moving in the right direction, so I was admitted. After a few days in the hospital, they delivered the baby as he wasn't thriving, and they felt that I was on my way to developing full-blown help again. If the baby had been thriving in utero, they may have given me a bit longer to watch the help. My second son was born at 25 weeks, weighing only 15 ounces. He lived for about a month before passing away due to complications from his prematurity. At my six-week follow-up, my MFM doctor strongly advised against future pregnancies but mentioned that I was a great candidate for gestational surrogacy if we wanted to still expand our family. Around that time, my sister-in-law independently offered to carry a baby for us after watching a friend go through the process. We took her up on her unbelievably generous offer, and after a few bumps in the road with IVF, we had a successful, healthy pregnancy resulting in my daughter, Nora. We had one remaining embryo left, so I resonate with the reader's stress surrounding what to do. I thought about it all the time. Ultimately, we decided that if someone approached us about a desire to carry for our family again, we'd try. It had taken four embryos to get Nora, so we didn't think there was a high likelihood that it would work. My sister-in-law, who carried Nora, had a close friend who casually asked her if we were going to try for another baby, as she was interested in being a gestational carrier. She mentioned that we had one embryo left and open to another GC pregnancy. Long story long, sorry, we ended up transferring our last embryo into her and it worked. So in the end, yes, my help returned for a second pregnancy that was unfortunately even more traumatic and resulted in a very premature baby that passed away. But I feel strongly that had we not gone through that experience, my sister-in-law never would have thought to offer to carry for us, which changed the fabric of our family forever. So it was mentally, physically, and financially exhausting, but worth it all in the end. I'm a better woman and mother as a result of all of this, but it's taken years and a lot of therapy to get to this point. Best of luck to your reader. With embryos on ice, she should consider gestational surrogacy. We had an overwhelmingly positive response with both of our GC pregnancies. Kelsey, who says she's welcome to contact me if she'd like to discuss more. So the original listener wants to reach out to get Kelsey's email. Reach out. And she says, I loved Dory's book and have gifted it to two friends already. Well done, Dory.
We encourage everyone gifting Dory's book to two friends.
So Kelsey, if you want to, Kelsey actually posted a lot. I kind of know Kelsey, both through social media, and she also came to a reading I did for Startup in Portland when she was living in Portland, a few years ago. She's really great. And she's like kind of an influencer, and she, posted a lot about her surrogacy journey, especially with this last child. So if anyone is interested, you can go look at her Instagram at Kelsey. Her Instagram is Kelsey Nixon.
Kelsey, all I would say is when you're writing about it, when you put GC pregnancy, I just read that as Guitar Center pregnancy. So
I think you're the only one.
All right. Look.
Just saying. Kelsey, thank you so much for writing in. And again, I'm sorry for your loss of your second son.
Absolutely.
All right. We heard from a different Kelsey on the same topic. Matt, would you like to read this one?
I mean, is this causation or correlation?
Correlation is not causation. Mm.
Pause the pod to respond to the help signals. Double L, everybody. I too had severe preeclampsia and help syndrome in my traumatic birth. While we have opted not to risk another pregnancy, our reoccurrence estimate was 40%. I have a few things I found that might help the caller. The preeclampsia, eclampsia, and help syndrome survivors global support network Facebook group has a ton of people talking about TTC pregnancy. And birth after one of these conditions. I also found, what is TTC?
Trying to conceive.
Thank you. I've also found their guides to be the most comprehensive / research based on the internet. Sorry, everybody, that you're listening to an IVF podcast and one of the hosts is like, what is TTC? We're not an acronym place, you know? We've tried to steer clear for so long. Okay, back to this email. I've attempted all the things for processing my traumatic birth and found EMDR therapy to be the most helpful. I'm going to give this Instagram name a swirl. @thebirthtrauma_mama, M-A-M-A. on Instagram. Thank you. Has a lot of birth trauma support. The caller mentioned talking with two OBs, but I would highly recommend that they talk to a MFM.
Maternal fetal medicine doctor.
They will be able to offer specific recurrence estimates and prevention techniques than an obstetrician backyard again.
Wow.
OB. Finally, just wanted to add that assisted reproduction is one of the risk factors for preeclampsia and HELP. So it's a good idea for everyone to be aware of the symptoms and report them ASAP to your care provider if they come up. That's from Kelsey in 2100 square feet in the Bay Area. Husband, baby, dog, zero hot dogs in 2021. Thank you, different Kelsey.
Yeah, these are some these are some great resources. Thank you for your sharing them. Okay, we have one more. We have one more email on this topic from Leah. I unfortunately can't relate to the listener who had a traumatic and life-threatening experience with HELP. My biggest recommendation is to have a consult with a maternal fetal medicine doctor. I consulted with one to go over all that happened to me and how we would address those issues in potential subsequent pregnancies. There are autoimmune diseases and clotting disorders linked to HELP that she can be tested for. If she does have one, that will help to develop her treatment plan in a possible future pregnancy. I did end up deciding to try again for another baby. Like you mentioned from the other email, I also did Lovenox injections and took low-dose aspirin. I had lots of extra visits, ultrasounds, and blood work, as well as non-stress tests, NSTs, biweekly after 32 weeks, which was when I got very sick during my HELP pregnancy. I was followed by both an MFM and OBGYN who worked together to manage my care. I was induced at 39 weeks and had a healthy baby. Because that pregnancy went so well with all of the interventions, I decided to have a third child and repeated the same protocol with success. It is entirely possible to have HELP-free pregnancies after a HELP pregnancy with careful monitoring, the right treatment, and some luck. However, it was very stressful and scary every time my blood pressure was a little high. I recommend seeking therapy to help work through the trauma of your first pregnancy and have support if you do decide to try for another baby. Question for Matt and Dory. Are there any updates on whether or not you plan to try for another baby? I was devastated for you after your last transfer. I recall you mentioning that you may have some other viable embryos that you initially were told were abnormal. Maybe I'm remembering wrong. On a housing note, in May, we sold our Simi Valley home for $800,000. It was 2,000 square feet, 4 bedrooms, 2 bath. We moved to Phoenix for my husband's job and paid $800,000 for a 4,000 square foot, 5 bed, 3 bath house with a huge bonus room and a pool for 2 adults, 3 children, and 2 little mutts.
Wow.
1 hot dog for me this year, countless hot dogs and corn dogs for the kids. Thanks, Leah.
Phoenix. I mean, you went from Simi Valley to Phoenix. Somehow you found a hotter place to live. Any updates, Story, on whether or not we plan to try to have another baby?
I don't have any updates. Do you have any updates?
I don't have any full updates, you know. I think it's interesting. I find that as Henry gets more mature, the desire increases for another child. Because I'm like, oh, I bet if Henry had an older sibling around, he'd have been talking at 1.
Yeah, I mean, all the kids in his preschool class who have older siblings are all...
Yeah, they're all like...
talking sentences.
Absurdly verbose.
Although, I've also heard it go the other way, that sometimes younger siblings don't talk early because their older siblings, like, talk for them.
I'd take... you know, it would have been nice if someone was around to translate for Henry.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, that's...
Well, it seems unlikely that we'll be able to have an older sibling for Henry.
We've got older embryos than him, right?
I don't think it works that way.
Oh, yeah. All right. But yeah, so that's sort of, it's just, we'll see.
Like we have some embryos that are now classified as high level mosaic.
That's the best level you could have, right?
No.
Oh, bad level.
Low level is better.
Gotcha.
which our doctor said they have not transferred at our clinic before. They've only transferred low-level mosaics. That's not to say that like we couldn't convince them to transfer them.
I would say give it 6 weeks and they'll figure something else out with reading these genetic results.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time. We're old.
Yeah, so I don't know. I am also...
Would you like to be pregnant again? What are you doing?
I just knocked over my water.
She just couldn't handle the question. She just kicked things over. She got so excited.
So I've actually been thinking about that because...
Oh, here. I know you want to get back into running.
What are you cackling about?
I'm laughing at like, the idea that the idea of you getting back into running. Because you're finally like, well, I guess I'm not going to have another kid, so I'm going to just start running again.
I mean...
It's like, well, I mean, couldn't you have been running anyway? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't even know what TTC means, so...
Yeah, I mean, the thought of going through that first trimester again is, like, not super appealing, to be perfectly honest. And then... Like that first 6 months is like pretty rough.
Would you consider a Guitar Center pregnancy?
Yeah, but I don't think we can afford it.
Well, that's where you go to Guitar Center and have the baby there.
Oh, that's cool.
You have to live at the Guitar Center. You have to live at Guitar Center the entire.
And then you have a guitar. You birth a guitar.
Oh my god! What a long wait to have a guitar.
It's weird. Like, I find that my desire for Henry to have a sibling is also increasing, but my desire to be pregnant and have a baby again is, like, decreasing. So I feel like...
Would you say that it's almost an even sort of graph? Like, is the graph, like... I'm making noises, but hands even.
I think
my
desire to have a kid is still a little bit higher, but like, yeah, I mean, and like, I'm old.
I know, but we should really just do it for the pod, you know?
Oh,
let's
okay.
keep the pod going.
You're right.
CCRM, look out.
I don't think we can make more embryos ourselves anymore. I think that ship has sailed.
CCRW. Creedence Clearwater.
So I think our options are, like, to be like perfectly, you know, frank about it. I think our options are we could try putting in the high level mosaic embryos. Mm-hmm. If those don't work, I think if we seriously want to have another kid, I think our options then are to move on to donor something, whether it's donor egg and sperm or donor embryo or whatever. I think that's our next, that would be our next move.
They should do one option of a round that is called the poo-poo platter. And it's like, we'll do a donor egg, we'll do a donor sperm, and we'll do a donor embryo. It comes with these three items. All right. On that note, we'll be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, we're back.
Hello.
Hope you all had a good scorpion bowl with your poo-poo platter. If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it's an appetizer platter in Polynesian-themed restaurants and, for some reason, at Chinese restaurants in the Boston area, which are mostly Polynesian-inspired cuisine. Anyway.
No, they're not.
That's making me hungry.
I know. I would love...
Kowloon is essentially a tiki bar that also is a Chinese restaurant.
Okay, I don't want to get into this.
You don't want to get into Kowloon? I'd love to get into Kowloon right now.
Of it. All right, this is from Jenny. Our clinic has multiple locations around the country, and we are considering moving our embryos from New York to Denver.
I'm wondering if anyone has experience with transporting embryos, sending out the egg signal, as I'd like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. Is it worth it? Too risky? Thanks. That she must be a CCRM.
Patient. Oh, moving them from to.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have had experience with transporting
embryos. I agree. I mean, I have a friend who lives abroad who told me that they were considering moving an embryo from the United States to a foreign country. So, like,
look, if we can move Ted Williams's head around, we can do make an embryo happen. Cryogenics. Dory's going to ignore it. Move on.
Cryogenics. Which I got to say
is very appropriate because I'm talking nonsense.
Okay. Moving on.
Yes.
Hi, could you please share the name of the YouTube video/song that you play for Henry? You may have said it before, but I missed it. Thanks. And that is from someone with 3 hot dogs and 3,500 square feet in Connecticut.
Yeah. Songs for littles.
Songs for littles. Songs for littles. That's their jingle.
Yeah. And it's been very helpful for Henry, I think. Personally, I don't know how Dory feels about it.
Oh, I agree.
Because it's like a big confluence of different things that are happening at the same time.
Right.
Henry.
So it's hard to isolate one.
But I do think that has helped quite a bit. So yeah, Songs for Littles. And
with Miss Rachel.
With Miss Rachel. Just dive in. Rachel and Jules. And occasionally Rachel's husband.
What's also like.
Who's the associate director, music director for Aladdin.
I would say most of their videos on YouTube, like. They recycle a lot of content and just sort of like repackage it in different orders.
But that's what kids like.
But exactly. And like they'll have some that are like 3 hours long if you just want to like throw your kid in front of the TV.
And if you have a kid that is not Henry, that'll work.
Yeah. Because they play some songs that make Henry cry. So that's.
Also now it's just like he's turned into like a.
Little tyrant.
Annoying DJ at a party. It's like, no. No, we got to turn this song off. I don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You loved this song like a week ago. Yeah, I'm over it.
Okay.
Now, we have an email from Mary.
Would you like to read it?
Sure.
Okay.
Dear Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. Oh, I was first. Perfect. I had some advice for the woman whose sister is worried about leaving the baby behind while traveling and asking for tips on how to manage. I had to go to China for work for a week when our daughter was 8 months old. Aside from the joys of pumping from an economy class middle seat on a full transatlantic trans-Pacific flight twice, it's a long flight, what we did helped me a lot. My husband sent tons of pictures and videos. Our daughter was too young to FaceTime me. And the Chinese hotel Wi-Fi was really not up to the challenge anyway. But my husband sent pictures of them at breakfast, lunch, dinner, bath time. Just regular intervals all throughout the day. Because of the 12-hour time difference, I'd get a lot of them when I woke up in the morning. But it was still great. This would work even better from a similar time zone. Seeing them relax and smiling and playing and doing their routine helped me feel comfortable and confident being away. And probably helped with letdown for pumping. Some of the pictures, like one where he propped her up in an armchair to take an over-the-shoulder photo of her watching the Gophers football game, were instant classics. Bonus. Came back to a baby newly sleeping through the night when she realized getting up to eat in the middle of the night meant daddy with a bottle instead of mommy with a boob. That was it. I went back to China about a year later when she was 20 months old. This time we tried FaceTiming. A bit, but we did the picture thing again, and that worked for us. Now, of course, I've been home with her around the clock for a year and a half, and she's mommy obsessed, and I can barely leave the room without her freaking out. Stupid pandemic. Happy potty training, Mary. P.S. Dory, I enjoyed your book. Parenthetical, I was an early to average bloomer career-wise, but got married for the first time at 37, had my daughter right before turning 40 after multiple miscarriages, so there's a lot I could relate to. My one burning question that didn't get answered was, why did you leave the history PhD program? Parenthetical again. I asked because I'm a history professor, but since we're about the same age, we were probably in history grad school around the same time, and the job market already sucked then, so maybe that's it.
So this is so funny because
In an earlier draft of the book, I had a little bit more detail about my grad school experience, and my editor was basically like, this is boring. She didn't quite phrase it like that, but it was like, she's like, we're getting a little in the weeds here. And she wanted me to basically just like condense it into a sentence. I was like, and then I left grad school. But I have since heard from, like, I would say this is one of the most frequent questions I've been getting. And it's always from grad students or like people in academia. Like, they want more detail on it.
This feels right up your demo, you know?
Yes. And so now I'm like kind of regretting that I cut it. Like, who cares? I could have had like a paragraph
about
it. See if
they'll throw it in the paperback.
Yeah, maybe they will. Okay. My like TLDR about leaving grad school is I realized that I didn't love teaching. And teaching is like a big part of being a professor. And then I would, you know, and then the other part of being a professor, a history professor, is like, you know, doing a ton of research and like being in archives. And I just, it just like wasn't, I didn't love it. It didn't feel like it was for me. And I have to say, I also got kind of depressed at the thought of like working so hard and so long on something that like maybe 13 people would read. Like, not that my, you know, what I write needs to be, everything needs to be like, you know, viral. But there's something about that that just like seemed kind of grim to me. Like, you spend so much time and so much energy on like writing your dissertation or your books, and they're always there. You know, in academia, you have to be so specialized, or your books at least have to be so specialized that like really the only people reading them are like not maybe your students.
If you
put it on your syllabus and you make people buy it, sure. But like
that's what they all do.
Other people just buying it are only going to be the people like in your specific field, maybe. And I don't know, there was just something kind of grim about that to me. And of course, that is not the case for most people.
I asked Dory this question early on in our relationship. And from what I remember, your answer was, I didn't want to teach. And what the hell else am I going to do with the history degree?
Well, there are some things you can do with a history PhD. Like,
apparently
you could
go to China twice.
You can work in an archive, you can work in a museum, you can work at a nonprofit, but like none of those like really appeal to me. And also, like, you don't necessarily need a PhD for those jobs. Like, you could probably do a lot of them with a master's. And it was just like, is this really what I want to do? And then on top of all of that, as Mary mentions, the job market is just horrible. And like, I mean, you basically have zero control over like where you're going to live, because you have to go where the jobs are. Right. And that could be, who knows, if you even get a tenure track job. Well, like, you could just be adjuncting for the rest of your life.
That's kind of like what it's like in the television industry too. You have no control over where you live outside of the fact that, I mean, you can pick a neighborhood in the greater Los Angeles area.
And you're making so much more money than you make as a history professor.
Okay.
So there's that. Okay, this is from Kathy. Dory, I just finished your book, and I hope it's okay to write in and ask a few questions. First, your book was amazing. It was like meeting up in real life with a longtime internet friend you finally met in person and getting to know them. I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm dying to know if you gave a heads up to people from your past that you would be writing about them. Specifically, your ex, John. Do you know if he read your book, and do you know where he is now? Any others? I did not give a heads up to people from my past that I would be writing about them. I don't know if John read my book. I do know where he is now because I Googled him like probably a year ago.
For the book?
No. Ah. Just he like came up in a conversation and I was like, what's he doing now anyway? And I Googled him and I was like, oh, weird.
What were the results regarding like, I guess what I'll say is, did it surprise you?
Not really.
Okay.
It wasn't that surprising.
Okay. I also wanted to wish you all the best on your upcoming Disney trip. We went in March and had a blast. It was my second time bringing the kids. We also stayed at Art of Animation, and my girls loved all the statues of characters around the resort. The big blue pool is awesome too. I highly suggest renting a stroller if you want one less thing to bring. We use Kingdom strollers and they were awesome. They deliver and pick up right from your resort. Also, Matt, I too never thought I would use a travel planner for my Disney trips, as I consider myself a Disney expert, but honestly, they are the best thing as a busy working mom and all the changes happening at Disney. They took care of it all for us, including dining reservations and park reservations. And it's totally free. And with the insane current wait times to get a hold of Disney on the phone, if you have any issues, it's totally worth it. Also embrace and use mobile ordering as it is a huge time saver. Have fun. Thanks for all you both do. And continuing the podcast, it's the best on Monday morning. Kathy, with two donor egg girls, 2 and 5, one husband, one fat cat, and one 80-pound lab pit mix, 1,850 square feet in Chanhassen, Minnesota. Zero hot dogs this year because ew.
That's, I mean, look, I've always been a big mobile order fan from the time that I think Disney offered it on the thing. So I get that. And also the idea of having someone take care of all those phone calls and waiting online for these reservations to open up, very appealing.
So a listener, I think we mentioned this on the Patreon. I don't think we mentioned this on the actual show. A listener who had written to us on a previous episode and mentioned that they were a travel agent, she reached out to us and offered to help us with our planning, even though we had already made hotel reservations, which means like she's not going to make any money off of us. But she's already been super helpful, and I would recommend her. She's also an egghead, so like...
Good people.
You know she's good people. Her name is Naseem Kansari. So if you are looking for a Disney travel agent, I would definitely recommend her. And she has an Instagram. Wait a second.
Dory is now going to look for the Instagram.
Okay, there it is. The link from her signature file did not work. So, okay, she has an Instagram at Magic and Saffron.
So head to Magic and Saffron Instagram for all your Disney booking needs.
Yep.
Now, Dory, this brings me to the Carrie portion of the show.
Do you want to read this?
Hi, Matt and Dory. I've been meaning to write in for months. Every time you guys discuss hot dogs and Matt rails against Hebrew National and talks about natural casings, I shout, get some Kogels in my head. Kogels are a Michigan brand of hot dogs. They're not out here. And it's basically illegal to buy other brands here. My husband used to work at their factory, and he said that it was so clean you could eat off the floor. All right, challenge accepted. Please get some Kogel Viennas. They have a snap when you bite them from the casings. You can order them online. Oh, interesting. Okay. I also love recommending... I also recommend the pickled ring bologna, even though I know it sounds disgusting. It's great. Local dive bars make redneck charcuterie with slices of the ring bologna and cubes of Colby Jack and Ritz crackers. It's right up my alley. I'm fucking constantly eating cheddar and wheat them, so you get it. And she, Carrie goes on to say that she promises she's not affiliated with Kogel's. That's from Carrie, 2200 square feet in Flint, Michigan. Husband, two dogs, newborn science baby, gone through at least 2 packs of Viennas this year. Nice. Apparently I paused the pod about 5 minutes before another listener wrote in R.E. Kogel's, so I guess I'll just co-sign their Kogel suggestion. I have no memory of the other Kogel suggestion.
There was.
My brain is mush.
Yeah.
So thank you, Carrie. And thank you, previous Kogel suggestioner. That brings us to the end of the podcast, which also brings us to the most important part of the podcast, where we thank those who support the show on Patreon. You can do that, too, and get up to 2 bonus episodes a month at patreon.com/excellentadventure. Huge thank you to those supporters. If you go $5 or above, You get your name right on the podcast each month in addition to that bonus pod. You also get the back catalog, so there's an F-ton there. Thanks to Aaron.
Aaron Gudge.
There goes the Gudge. Aaron Turley.
Frederick Roy.
Greg Watchorn.
Greta Truitt.
Hannah Crowder.
Hillary Berry.
Jackie G.
Jennifer Steele.
Jess Branch.
Jesse Hendricks.
Jessica Grigsby.
Jessica Manilovich.
Julia Schulenberg.
Schulenberg.
That's what I meant to say.
Julie McLaren.
Kane McCall.
Caitlin Donahoe.
Karen Thickershey.
Kat C.
Kate in Chicago.
Catherine Linnae.
Catherine Shimmons.
Katie Regan.
Kelly Zimmerman.
Carrie Mills.
Kim Mestry.
Christopher Fonagy.
Kinsey Hamilton.
Laura.
Laura Dodge.
LFB.
Liesl.
Lindsay Gish.
Linnea Wynn.
Lisa Travis.
Liz.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hediger Peterson.
Mary Jo George.
Maude Tremblay.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Magana Prasad.
Melinda Phelps.
Michael Roth.
Michelle Kitzmiller.
Mike Zydek.
Mike Kim and Leo.
There it is, everybody. Thank you to those people. I'm singing an outro song. See you next week.
Bye.